chapter number 1, and you can find the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. I understand that's what David taught the kids today in the class, Genesis chapter 1. John chapter 1. I love the book of John. He loved the Lord, didn't he? He was one that leaned on Jesus' breast, and they were very close, and one of the sons of thunder, and God used him to pen these words. And in verse number 1 of John, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything that was made." Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful that You're the one, You're the life giver, Lord. You're the one that we can trust. And we lift our eyes to the hills today, from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. And Lord, we need You to say all that You would have us to say and not say things, Lord, that You would not want us to say. And so today, dear Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name that You would help me to preach the truth in love, and Lord, to give You the glory and the preeminence, for it's in His name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So here in the beginning, in John chapter 1, was the Word. Now that Word is Jesus, Jesus Christ. And so we're talking about this morning the deity of Christ, Jesus Christ being God. And there's plenty of proofs, infallible proofs, that Jesus is the only true Son of God. Now there's three persons, right, of the Trinity. You say, "I don't really understand the Trinity." Right, because you're not God. Amen. You're not going to understand it fully. Some say, well, it's like an egg. You know, an egg has a shell, it has a yolk, and it has a white. But, you know, it's one egg. Or if you're a man, you're a father, you're a son, and you're a husband. There's one man, but three different roles. But that doesn't really shed light on the mighty, holy, omnipotent God. That's just a simple illustration, a worldly illustration. But God is three persons. And they're all different personalities, but yet one God. You have God the Father, you have God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they're all the same God, but yet different personalities. Now the world would say the Trinity is like 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. But really, the Trinity is 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. Yep. And so you can't maybe wrap your head around it. Just trust the Lord. Hey, you'll believe the Word and you'll be okay, okay? Yeah. But there are three different personalities. And Jesus is one of those. He's God. And He was there back in creation. Before we go there, look at verse 14 of John chapter 1. "And the Word was made flesh." Now, who became flesh? The incarnate Son of God, Jesus Christ. He robed Himself with flesh, and He came down to this earth to die for us sinners, right? He was born of a virgin. Now, that's one proof that He is a Son of God. He is God. By the way, He died on the cross, was buried. 3 days later, what happened? He got up and He arose. Well, the resurrection is proof that He is God. Jesus is God. By the way, when He was on the cross, no one took His life. He gave His life. He commended His life. Over to the Holy Spirit, you know, He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend," what? "My spirit." And so who killed Jesus? No one killed Jesus. He laid it down. "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." And you're a friend of the Lord because he did that for you. Now over in Genesis chapter 1, hold your place or your ribbon in John, because we'll be coming and going. But in Genesis chapter 1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, if you go over to verse 26, the Bible says, Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let us make man in our image. So in Genesis chapter 1, God is making man in His image. And in John chapter 1, Jesus is taking on flesh. And so the Son of God is becoming a man, but yet He's all God. He's 100% God and 100% man. And only God can do that. But here He says, God created man, verse 27, in His own image, and in the image of God created He him, male and created He them. Male and female created He them. There's only two genders, folks. Male and female. It's so sad. We live in a day that tries to go against the Word of God, and it's just a lie of the devil, isn't it? It's confusion. Because he goes on to say in verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, if you go on and read, you'll find that God, everything that He created, He said, it's good. And it's very good. And you know, God created male and female. He said, replenish the earth. Hey, a male and a male can't replenish the earth. A female and a female can't replenish the earth. Now, they can try, but they can't improve on God. Amen? They cannot do it. And we find ourselves in Romans chapter 1. Go over there. Hold your place in John. We're coming back. But in Romans chapter 1, the modern day age that we live in. And it's sad. But it's true. The Bible's true. And it tells us what's happening in these wicked and last days. Oh, that God would just, if we would just believe God and His Word. Chapter 1, Romans. Look with me in verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest. That word manifest means brought, shown forth in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Time out. You know, back even in the book of Exodus, when Moses and Pharaoh, the children of Israel were held captive in Egypt. And they had all of those different gods, the gods of the flies, the gods of the cows, and all of these different gods. And, you know, God judged them in that because there's only one true God. And they worshiped the creation instead of the Creator. And it says on down here, verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beast and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You say, what does this have to do with John chapter 1? Well, God, through John, is giving the picture, the whole picture of why God, Jesus Christ came. And it's really the mystery of the gospel, which tells people that God loves sinners and God had a way, even in His wisdom, in His pre-existence, His existence, His co-existence. You see, Jesus Christ was there in creation. He was on the job. I'm talking about Jesus, the Son of God. God the Father was there. The Trinity was there. But right here in Romans, God gave them over, but now He's going to give them up too. It says in verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for their women did change the natural use into which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over." So in verse 26, God gave them up. In verse 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And folks, Romans chapter 1 is the world in which we live today. People are unthankful and covetous and doing things that God will judge. You say, is God a righteous God? Yes. God is a righteous God. He's a good God, but He's also a just God. He's a holy God, and He's the creator of the world. In fact, He's the creator of everything. Everything was created by God. There's nothing that we have that wasn't created. We'll say man did that. Well, who gave man the wisdom to do it? It all comes from God. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above and is sent from the Father. Now go back to John. So he's telling us the picture. God had a plan. Man fell back in the Garden of Eden. And I just want to say this. I'm so thankful that God made a way for us to be saved. God made a way for us to be forgiven. You say, well, I'm not all of those things that was in Romans chapter 1 there. No, but you are a sinner and you've come short. You've missed the target. Amen? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now back in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus, the Son of God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I'm sorry to say, but I'm going to tell you the truth. The Jehovah's Witness, their Bible, the New World Translation, says that last phrase in verse 1, and the Word was God, capital G. Their Bible, false Bible, says, and the Word was a God, little g. You know what that is? Blasphemy. That's exactly right. That's not a truth. That's a lie. And what kind of God, little g? It could be any God. And by the way, it's all a false God. Anytime, and what do they believe in their doctrine? They believe in their doctrine that Jesus Christ, well, He may have been a good teacher or a good prophet, but He was not God. He was not, He didn't have deity. But I'm telling you, our Bible, God says that Jesus Christ is God. He says, I and the Father are one. And only Jesus can save your soul, and only He can satisfy your soul. So it says in verse 2, John, we'll get as far as we can get. The same was in the beginning with God. He was on the job, Brother David, back there in creation. In Genesis chapter 1, And he was there to know. And by the way, he's on the right hand of the Father right now in heaven, making intercession for us. Amen. Our Savior. I mean, he came down to this earth the first time and he died for our sins. But when he comes back the second time, he's not going to have to go there. Amen. He did it once and for all. Praise God. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Hold your place here. Put your bulletin or your ribbon right here and go to Psalm 33 tells us the same thing. So we just evolved into this or that. That's a bunch of baloney. That's a bunch of hogwash. We have a Creator God. And we worship the Creator, not the creation. Psalm 33. That's what we're looking for. And verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. God spoke it and it happened. Amen. And verse 9. For He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And everything God created was good. Now go over to Colossians. Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 1. Verse 16, please. By the way, you have redemption in His dear Son. If you back up there and read verse 13, you have the forgiveness of sins and in verse 14, through Jesus, the blood of Jesus. But in 16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. In other words, He holds it together. We cannot even consist. We'll see here in just a few moments how that Jesus Christ, the Word, is not only our light, but He is our life. We don't have life without the Lord, folks. We have our breath because of the Lord. And so He holds us together. By Him all things consist. And He is the head, talking about Jesus, of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the what? First place. First place. Now go back just a little bit to Philippians chapter 2. Just back to the left in verse number 6. Talking about Jesus in Philippians 2:6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. That's what John 1 is talking about. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. The form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Back in Genesis 1, man was made in the image of God. And verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, talking about Jesus, He humbled Himself. I'm glad of that, aren't you? I'm so thankful that He humbled Himself. He could have stayed up in glory, but He said, no, I love them. I love mankind, and I want to give Myself for their sin, to be a ransom so that they could be redeemed. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Friends, if you don't bow your knee on this earth, you'll bow your knee one day. You'll confess Him as Lord, because He is. Now back in John, please. All things were made by Him. Verse 3, John chapter 1. In Him was life. You know, the Bible says, for in Him we live. In the book of Acts, we live and move and have our being. But I just want to get this over. If you don't hear anything else, remember this. 1 John 5 says, He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. It's that simple. It really is. You either have Jesus or you don't. Either you choose Jesus. What will you do with Jesus this morning? What will you do with Him? Will you trust Him as your Savior? Either have Him or you don't. It's a choice. You've either trusted Him as your Savior or you've rejected Him. It's down. The bottom line where the rubber meets the road is this. It's heaven or hell, your choice. Right. Jesus or your way and the devil's way. But I want to tell you this morning, oh, He wants you to have life. Right. He wants you to have the Son in your soul. Now, He created the S-U-N, the S-O-N, created the S-U-N, but He wants to give you that light in your soul. And Jesus is the light. Hold your place here and go to John 8 and verse 12. John 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 3 talks a lot about that, doesn't it? About having the light. And as we walk in the light, as He is in the light. So I'm thankful for Jesus Christ, who's the life giver and the light giver. I wouldn't want to be in a cave, down in a hole, in a pit, where it's total darkness. There's little bugs down there and creatures down there. You know, and hell is referred to as the place of outer darkness, right? But I'm glad we can have the light. We can come out of the darkness into the light. Now go back to John chapter 1. Are you there? Say amen. John chapter 1. We're talking about Jesus, the Son of God. And He took on flesh. And verse number 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now who was that? John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Who was John the Baptist? He was the forerunner of Christ. Or the one, he didn't feel worthy to even latch the shoes of Jesus. It was John the Baptist said, He must increase and I must decrease. It was John the Baptist that baptized Jesus. But Jesus didn't need baptized. He was giving us an example. Amen. Wow, everybody's on a different side here. I tell you what. I'm just thankful you're here. But you know, John the Baptist is the one that pointed to Christ. He preferred Christ. He put Christ first. And he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It was John the Baptist, that preacher, who it says in the New Testament, there was no greater prophet than John the Baptist. But John the Baptist just kept pointing to Christ. He's the one that can save you. He's the one that has the light. He's the one that has the life. It's not in me. I'm a preacher. But Jesus is the one that can take your sin away. It's His through His blood. And so it's John the Baptist here. John is telling about in verse 7 of chapter 1, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him might believe. And that's really the reason I said in Sunday school why the book of John was written. If you hold your place here in chapter 1 and go to the chapter 20, the 20th chapter, in verse 31, we're going to read it out loud together. This is the reason, really, for the message today. Verse 31, John chapter 20. You there? Say amen. Okay, let's read it together. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That's why this book was written. You say, well, I was looking for a flowery sermon, but a flowery sermon won't get you to heaven. Right. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And be saved. That word believe means placing your trust in and relying totally upon Jesus. It's not Jesus plus this or Jesus plus that. No, it's Jesus. Look unto him and be ye saved. Go to John chapter 3 and verse 36. It's so simple. And it's straightforward and it's to the point. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You know why Jesus died on the cross? For you. That you might have peace, and that you might have a home in heaven, that you might have assurance, and that you might be with him in heaven one day. And he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He died that you might not go to hell. We're condemned already, but if you get saved, you're not condemned anymore. Your sins are washed away. In John chapter 3, verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's Jesus. That's the Word. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Back to chapter 1. John the Baptist is preaching, and he's bearing witness in verse 8. He was not that light. It was not John the Baptist, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, to Christians, hey, listen, to Christians, that's our job, that's our purpose, to bear witness of Jesus Christ. There's always somebody that needs to hear it, right? And we, our job, after we're saved, well, how about this? If when we get saved, why doesn't God just take us straight to heaven? But he leaves us here to shine that light.
Right.
So that we can bring others to heaven with us. You know, even in Charlie Kirk's death, he's going to have more people in heaven at his death than he was in his life. It multiplied. And that's God would have us to bear that light, to bear that witness. Verse 8. Verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Talking about Jesus. Talking about the Word. He came unto his own. Jesus did. And his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm wondering today, how many of you have received him?
Amen.
Amen. I'm one of those. I can say, yes, I received him when I was 10 years old. And it was a life changing and a life rearranging. And you know what? Peace flooded my soul. And Jesus, he did make me free. He forgave my sins. And he that the Son makes free is free. And no one can do that but Jesus. Now let's go on. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is talking about Jesus. Verse 14, and the Word was made what? Flesh. And dwelt among us. John saw him. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Now we're only going to go to verse 18. And I'm going to try with the Lord's help to explain verse 18. You pray for me. But we'll just stop after 18 and we'll have the invitation. But John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he. That's speaking about John the Baptist, right? John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. I think understanding verse 18 here, you have to put it in context. When you look at the context, it brings things to light, does it not? And the law and Moses, they looked to the cross. We look back to the cross. But the law can never save. It can never take away our sins. It might cover back in that day, but they had to keep doing those sacrifices, right? But when Jesus died once and for all, it was finished. Amen. The blood took away our sins, talks about Hebrew, in the book of Hebrews. But he says, verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. I'm glad grace is there for everybody. God's unmerited favor, God's riches at Christ's expense, that favor that God can give us. You say, what is grace? Well, it's something we don't deserve. God will give it to you, but we don't deserve it. Now, mercy, we deserve judgment and punishment, but God gives, He withholds that punishment, and that's the mercy of God. Grace bestows mercy. God withholds that judgment. Okay, verse 16 again. And by His fullness of the Godhead, all we received and grace for grace. That was God's plan. For the law was given by Moses. By the way, none of us can keep all the commandments. Don't even go there. If you've offended in one, you're guilty of all. Okay, if you're honest with God, we've broken them all. If you're honest, that's what the Bible says. Even that thief on the cross recognized it, didn't he? He said, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. But look at verse 18. This is one I had problems with, Brother John, Manise. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. He hath declared Him. And I thought, oh my goodness. What about Simeon there in the New Testament when Jesus was born, he held up the Savior? You remember that? What about Mary, the mother of Jesus? If Jesus is God, and He is, she saw God, right? Moses, Isaiah. In chapter 6, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And it says right here, no man has seen God. Now, I've not seen Jesus. One day I will, face to face. If you're saved, you'll see the Lord Jesus. In the Old Testament, you know, the Bible talks about invisible and how God, no one has seen God. But I want to try to give you what I read about this verse. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He declared Him. And that's important to know. God the Father, He's in heaven, Jesus on the right hand, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us as believers here. This is what Harold Seitler, he's such a man of God, such a scholar, he said this, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Now listen, maybe this will help. It helped me. No human eye has seen God as He is in eternal perfection. As He is in eternal perfection. No wise man on earth fully knows the mind of the person of God. Did you catch that? Friends, God is sovereign. God is holy. God is almighty. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He can be anywhere He wants to be. He knows everything because He's always been. No one created Him. He is the Creator. And so, no one knows fully knows the mind and person of God. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth. John 4:24. This is not to deny the personality of the Father. The essence of God is invisible and not seen with the natural eye. Jacob is said to have been seen God. Moses saw Him in Deuteronomy 34:10. Isaiah, but they did not see the essence of God, which is invisible. God is seen in His works of creation. If you look at the creation of God, and I love to see the creation of God. I love to see it. It just did not evolve. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than the creation story. Right. When I look at a newborn baby, I see God made that. That baby dropped out of heaven. The oceans and the mountains. And all that God creates, He saw in His redemption. And we see God in the providential protection. You know, the President of the United States got shot at and it nipped his ear. You know what I see in that? The providential protection of God. There is a God. There is a God in heaven. And so, the guidance and the watch care for the believer, all these are manifestations of God. And we see God in these things. Now, just one more paragraph. So how does the Scripture record that no man has seen God at any time? Jesus Christ is truly the fulfillment of the grace of God in contrast to Moses, the prophets, and John the Baptist. No man had ever seen God in the manifestation of divine grace in Jesus Christ. But when you see Jesus there in the New Testament, not in the law, you see the grace of God. You see the plan of salvation. You see the mystery of the gospel being made clear, don't you? And you see what we need. We need the gospel. We need salvation. The manifestation of the divine grace in Jesus Christ. When the prophets looked through the annals of prophecy, they did not see with the outward eye. But in the prophetic way, they beheld symbols, types, and shadows in the Old Testament. But in Jesus Christ, the prophetic patchwork became a unified, single vision, and the whole of the divine operation of God is united in Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 1, John, the revelator, revealed God's plan of salvation. I think we'll stop here in John, but go over to Revelation chapter 1. What does revelation mean? It means a revealing. He tells us what revelation is all about. It's about things to come, is it not? It's what Bible students call eschatology. Eschatology is the doctrine of last things or the things to come. And friends, if you've read the back of the book, you know what's going to happen, right? God's going to get the final victory. But in Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now this is the same author, John chapter 1, John the Revelator, same person. And he's revealing it. By the way, God does not want to conceal His gospel message. God wants to reveal. And He reveals, like over there in chapter 20, 21, the great white throne judgment, how people will be cast into the lake of fire who have not had their names written in the book of life. And He reveals that. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. That's eschatology. That's things to come. That's last things. Friends, if you want to know what's going to happen at the very end, read the book of Revelation. He wants to reveal that to you. He doesn't want to conceal it. People say, well, I don't know what this means and what that means. Hey, God wants to help us and tell us. And I guess what I take from that is this right here. We are living in the last of the last days. Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And what you going to do with Jesus? Will you reject it and callous your heart and harden your heart and be stubborn like Pharaoh, and God finally had to harden his heart? Now there's hope for you. You say, well, Pastor, I'm guilty of a lot of these sins, but you know what? God's grace is at a very low limb. He'll say, I'll forgive you. Well, it's too late for me. It's not too late for you. You're here today and you can trust Jesus as your Savior. You're hearing me today. You've not committed to unpardonable sin yet. You know what the unpardonable sin is? Rejecting His salvation. The Holy Spirit's knocking at your hearts. Now God will cut that off. If you keep saying, no, 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 I don't want it. Not now. Some other time. God will finally draw the line. And that's a sin unto death. He says here, and we're done here in a second, who bear record, verse 2, of the Word of God, that's Jesus, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that He saw, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I'm going to ask my daughter to come.